Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers here today. Hopefully you have a nice, relaxing day. Your kids wait on you. You get to do whatever you want today. And no questions asked. I'm sure your kids will make your day a great day. And hopefully you do have a good day. Do you know what happens in about 90-some minutes? At 12:39 today, summer arrives. And by that time, my sermon should be done. I don't know. It might be cutting it close. But 12:39. I love how the scientists get these exact times, but that's when summer arrives today. And during the summertime, a lot of families get together for reunions, either at like a park or pavilion somewhere or someone's house. And during these reunions, it's a lot of good stories are shared. You know, you catch up with your loved ones, share some laughs, find out what's been going on. But sometimes there's maybe that relative you have a little bit of friction with or a little bit of awkwardness with, and you might be over in this side of the pavilion and make sure you don't go to that side of the pavilion, but because, you know, you don't want to bring up some bad memories or cause a scene or something like that. This picture here is of a reunion that took place in 1913. Now, if you notice up there, there is an American flag and there is a Confederate flag. In 1913, veterans from the Union forces and the Confederate forces had a reunion in Gettysburg to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. And this took place from June 26th to July 6th. I could ask you what the official dates of the battle were. Does anybody know those? Right, so the battle lasted 3 days. Very good, Dave. Nice job. These guys were together for, what is that, maybe like 10 days or something like that. They were together. So they got together to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. Over 53,000 veterans from both sides attended this commemoration. Now, there wasn't enough hotels or houses for them to stay in at that time, so they stayed all together in a camp. And if you're familiar with Gettysburg, they stayed where Pickett's Charge took place. They set up a big camp there. And all 53,000 soldiers lived together, Union and Confederate, in this camp. Talk about maybe like a little awkward reunion. You know, you're sleeping in a camp next to people that were trying to kill you and trying to hurt you 50 years ago. But many of these soldiers, they respond a little bit differently to that awkwardness. They actually sought out people they remembered who were trying to shoot them, just to talk to them, to meet them, to get their side of the story. I guess they remembered the person with, you know, the face or whatever, but they sought them out to see if they could talk to them. They also, soldiers exchanged ribbons or badges that they had won during their time in the military. And two men even went out, they bought a hatchet and they buried it, to show that that conflict was buried, that that conflict between the North and the South was buried in their eyes. So talk about sort of an awkward reunion, but a lot of good came out of that reunion. We're going to talk about Jesus and Peter today, and the reunion they had towards the end of Jesus' time on earth. And I call this Jesus and Peter a reunion of forgiveness and trust. Now, if you know anything about Peter and Jesus' relationship, there was a lot of interesting interactions between those two in the gospel. There was a lot of highs and a lot of lows between Jesus and Peter. And a lot of times Jesus lifted Peter up and then couple chapters later, a couple verses later, Peter was knocked back down. And very much the relationship that Peter had with Jesus is the same way that we might have go about our Christian relationship. We have the highs and we have the lows. Just to let you know a little bit about Peter, original name was Simon. Jesus changed it to Peter because that meant rock. He was a fisherman, so Peter was like a tough guy. He had to be physical because he had to row out a boat. He had to bring in nets. He was strong. And he was a businessman. That was his business. He was married, which also made him stronger. He was the brother of Andrew, another apostle. And most often we know Peter as the most outspoken apostle. He made a lot of bold statements in the Gospels. Here is the calling of Peter, humble and decisive. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put it out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Peter's response, he humbled himself. He was tired. They hadn't caught anything all night. He was probably ready to go up on shore and go to bed. But Jesus said, "Hey, put out your nets one more time." And he's like, "All right, I'm tired, been working all night, but I'll do what you say, Master." Put him out, and look what he was rewarded with a catch so big that it filled two boats. Peter recognized that Jesus was a man of God. Right away, he called him Lord. So there was something that Peter saw in Jesus that made him recognize that he was from God. This was an interesting part. Peter professed that he was a sinner. He said, "Lord, get away from me. I am a sinner." Now, we all sin. And very rarely do we introduce ourselves as, "Hi, I'm Dave. I'm a sinner." So there must have been something eating at Peter. Something maybe that he did big in his life that he wasn't too proud of. Maybe you know, you don't want to say a big sin, but maybe some big sin was eating at him. And I love the response. It was immediate. Peter, James, and John left everything immediately. They just had two boats of fish that they could have probably made a lot of money. They just left them there. And they followed Jesus immediately. What is our response to God? Peter humbled himself. In our lives, do we humble ourselves before God? Do we take God's advice? Do we ask for forgiveness when we know we've sinned? Is our approach to God one of humbleness? Peter recognized right away that there was something great about Jesus. Do we take the time to recognize the greatness of God in our lives? We're here today. That's something great. We're worshiping in a church where we're free to worship. That's great. You know, we are well taken care of. That's great. That's great. We have loved ones in our lives. That's all the greatness of God. And probably the biggest greatness of God is that we have the opportunity to be with Him forever. Even with everything we do and all the times that we mess up, the greatness of God is still giving us the chance to be with Him forever. And the biggest question for every Christian, are we willing to drop everything and put God first in our lives? That is probably the toughest question that faces every Christian. Where is God in my priority list? Here is one of the highlights for Peter. Peter given the keys of heaven. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Joseph, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." How would you have liked to have been called, or liked to have been Peter at that point? Your Lord, your Savior, your God just called you the rock, and he's going to build his church on you. I don't know if there's a higher compliment for any Christian out there than to be called the rock on which Jesus' church is going to be built. And the gates of Hades, it will not overcome it. Peter professed who he thought Jesus was. Who do you think he is? Probably for many of us, that's an easy answer. He's my Messiah. He came to earth. He's God's Son. He taught us about our Heavenly Father. He taught about love. He taught about forgiveness. And he died on the cross so that we could be with him. But have you ever really thought about what Jesus means to you? Peter knew who he was right away. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. Are we willing to confess our belief? Now, in here, it's real easy to confess our belief to each other because we're amongst fellow Christians. How about when we go outside of these four walls? Do we ever talk and say, you know what? Jesus is my Savior. That is my belief. That Jesus came to earth, died for my sins, died for your sins, so that we could be with him forever. Do we understand what God is revealing to us in our lives? Jesus said to Peter, "God revealed that I'm the Messiah to you." It wasn't by flesh or blood. God revealed this. Do we know what God is revealing to us in our lives? When we face certain situations, God is trying to tell us something. Do we take the time to try to figure out what he's telling us? He reveals to us about other people in our lives. Do we understand what he's trying to tell us about the people that we encounter in our lives? He's trying to teach us about himself. Do we understand what he's trying to teach us about his love for us, his will for us? Peter was called a rock. Are we a rock for our fellow Christians? When the gates of Hades are coming against our faith, are we a rock? Can people look at us and say, you know what, no matter what's happening to that person, they stay the course. Their faith never shakes. They just stay the course, they keep their eye on God, and they trust in God. Hopefully we can be that rock for our fellow Christians. And here comes one of the valleys for Peter. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." That's one of Peter's bold statements. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." So Peter went, and if you go in the Gospel of Matthew, this is a matter of a couple verses. He went from being called the rock to being called Satan in a couple verses. Now, very high moment Your Savior calls you the rock. Got to be a very low moment when your Savior calls you Satan. I mean, I don't know if there's a worse derogatory statement towards a Christian than being called Satan. So, very high moment for Peter. Now we're at a very low moment. How would you have felt if you were Peter? Hey, I just told the guy he's not going to die on my watch. And he yells at me. I'm trying to tell him I'm going to be with him. I'm going to protect him. And he yells at me. He calls me Satan. How would you have felt? But Peter learned a lesson. Peter learned that God's plan wasn't matching up with his plan. God had a plan for his son. Peter didn't understand that. And Jesus had to teach him that. Does our plan for our life match up with God's plan for us? Do we ask God for guidance in decisions? Do we ask God to help us to let His will be done for us each day? Or do we have a path, okay, I'm 25, I'm going to get married when I'm 26, have 5 kids by 35, be retired when I'm 60? That's our plan. How does that match up with God's plan for us? And do we even ask God, what is your will for me? What is your plan for me? Towards the end of Jesus' earthly time, at the Passover, that supper that Bill talked about at communion, there was a bold proclamation and a shocking prediction. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Another bold statement by Peter. Bless you. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny 3 times that you know me. Wow. Again, Peter sort of put in his place. I'm going to go to prison and death with you, Lord. They're not. You're going to deny me 3 times that you even know me. Jesus knows us better than we do. How does that affect our faith? Jesus knows our strengths and our weaknesses. Do we allow Him to work in our lives to help us use the strengths to glorify Him and help Him to help us overcome our weaknesses? You know, so many times athletes know what they're good and bad at. Coach, I'm horrible at foul shots. What can I do? You know, coach will give them some advice, right, Roger? Why don't we do the same with God? God, you know that I have a real short temper. Can you help me with that? Can you help me to avoid those situations where I'm going to lose my temper quickly? Can you help me to, you know, remember to say a prayer or to count to 10 or something? Can you help me overcome my weaknesses? Do we do that, or do we try to get through everything ourselves? Unfortunately for Peter, Jesus' prediction comes true. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. How could Peter deny Jesus? Especially when Jesus told him that he was going to do it. You think he would have worked extra hard not to do it. But how could he have denied Jesus? He saw all the miracles. He heard all the teachings. Jesus was going to build his church on Peter. He was at the transfiguration. He walked on water with Jesus' help. Jesus even healed up his mother-in-law. Maybe he was a little upset about that. I don't know. But how could Peter deny Jesus? Why do you think he did it? Anybody? What? That's my response, fear. That's why he denied it. He saw Jesus bound before the courts, probably ready to get beat, going to be put to death. And Peter's like, that whole prison death thing, not going to work for me right now. I'm going to step away from that. And, you know, and he did. How would you have reacted? Now, back then, I'm going to guess for myself, unfortunately, I probably would have taken Peter's route and backed out. Well, if you don't know what you would have done back then, how do we react today when we're not going to be put on trial or not be put to death? Do situations where we have the chance to share our faith with someone or act in a Christian manner, do we back away from those? Are we afraid that our reputation is going to get harmed if we start being a churchy person and start talking about God and talk about what Jesus has done for us? Are we afraid to go against the norm because people will start talking about us and stuff? You know, hopefully not. Hopefully we don't deny our faith. Hopefully we talk boldly about our faith. No matter what is going to happen to our reputation, we know that in the eyes of God, our reputation is where it should be. And finally, the reunion takes place between Jesus and Peter. Now, Jesus had appeared to his apostles a few times before this, but this is where he took Peter aside. He said, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. There was a reunion of true forgiveness and trust. I went through the scriptures. I don't think I ever saw a phrase or a verse where Jesus came back to his apostles and said, where were you that night? You left me. Where were you? Nobody stood with me. Jesus never said that to his apostles. Never. You wonder, though, because you never hear the apostles apologizing for leaving him either in the scripture. So you wonder if an apology took place, but we'll never know. But Jesus put aside Peter's denial. Peter is deserting him, and he still put him in charge of feeding his sheep. How do you think Peter felt after that? Probably going into that meeting with Jesus, maybe a little bit of awkwardness. But coming out of that meeting, he had to feel good because Jesus still loved him, still trusted him enough to put him in charge of his sheep. God puts aside our sins and continues to love us. He asks us each day, I know you're a sinner, I know you're weak, but will you continue my work on earth? Will you feed my sheep? Will you further my kingdom? And each one of us as Christians has our own personal response. what is that response going to be? In the reading that Dave read before the sermon, we know what Peter's response was. He went out with fervor and passion and went out and told everyone he could about Jesus. Told them what they had to do to have salvation and eternal life. Peter did not allow his denial and his other weaknesses to stand in the way of serving his Lord, his friend. What is our response going to be? Because someday we also will have a reunion with our Heavenly Father. And we want that reunion as Christians to not be an awkward one where God says, you denied me. You were a little weak here. You made some bad decisions. Hopefully we don't have that awkward reunion with the Lord. And he says, you know what? You were the Christian that I wanted you to be. You were the person I wanted you to be. Welcome into my kingdom. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time to come worship you. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus' teachings. We thank you for your willingness to not give up on us when we sin. You know our hearts, Lord. You know our strengths and weaknesses. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves so that we may allow you and allow your Spirit to work through us, to use our strengths to further your kingdom, and to improve on our weaknesses so that we may not give in to temptation. Please be with us this week, Lord. May we glorify you and keep you at the front of our thoughts and our decisions each day. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, our church extends the opportunity for you to come forward. If you have anything that you would like the church to pray about, you could come forward at this time. If you would like to commit yourself to our Heavenly Father and be baptized, you also have that opportunity at this time. Roger's going to lead us in a song. If we could help you in any way, please come forward as we sing.